Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley. Well, it's summertime now, and the season seems a long time ago. Already, desperation is kicking in, and lovers of the beautiful game are reduced to watching World Cup warm-ups and attaching some kind of meaning to them to get their fix of football. Around London for the last week, there has been an alternative, and it's very alternative. CONIFA is the international governing body for non-FIFA-affiliated football associations. The CONIFA World Football Cup began in 2014 and happens every 2 years, the previous winners being the County of Nice and Abkhazia. This year, the tournament of 16 teams is being staged in London, so we took advantage of some international football at non-league grounds and went along to a couple of games. Jan Bilton, Terry DeFellin and I went to the War Memorial Sports Ground, home of recently crowned Isthmian League South champions Carl Shorten Athletic, to have a look at what the CONIFA World Football Cup was all about. Stick around after, because we've got some updates on what we'll be doing during the summer and what our upcoming 10th season is going to bring. 10 seasons! But let's head now to sunny Koshorten, where we join the action between Brawawa, the hosts, and Cascadia. It's half time.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. And we're here at Carl Shorten Athletic FC on a beautiful sunny day for some international football, aren't we, Terry?
Yes, we are. We're here to watch the CONIFA World Cup, and it's half time, and it's Brawawa versus Cascadia.
Yes, well, the hosts, Brawawa, who have lots of very London accents out there, but they're representing Somalia.
Brawawa being a small region within, well, I say region, probably shouldn't say region, because this is a nation's cup.
Yes, it is.
They are a nation, an unrecognised nation within Somalia.
Yes.
And this is their diaspora, I suppose. It's sort of Barawan natives or Barawan descendants living in London, representing their country in the World Cup.
Yeah, well, they're 2-1 down at the moment. They won a goal up early doors, didn't they? And but Cascadia are good for their 2-1 lead, aren't they, Jan?
They certainly are. I think that the early play was all Brawawa, and they started off proceedings with a fantastic national anthem, which I think would put many to shame, including England's. But that doesn't take much, does it?
Not really.
But seriously speaking, most of the play, the opening play, was theirs, and they looked like they were really up for it. But I thought Cascadia really came through. They've got some really tidy players going down the right flank. Forgive me, I don't know their names, but their number 7, number 23 look very capable, and they both created some great chances and a couple of goals into the mix as well.
Yeah, that's the sound of the substitutes banging on the advertising hoardings there.
Firing at us.
Firing us, because we're standing right behind the goal at the moment.
That's why they're substitutes.
Yeah, that's why they're substitutes, because as in the immortal words of Ari Redknapp, no wonder they're in the reserves. One's hit the head back of the net there. This is great. Have you enjoyed the experience so far, then, Terry?
It's been great. Well, I mean, it's been weird because obviously it's a non-league ground. I mean, I've been to Carl Shorten Athletic a few times to watch non-league football. But this is obviously international football, and the intensity is of another level to what I would expect from non-league football.
Yeah.
But at the same time, looking at the guys, looking at the players, particularly the Barawans, they do look like a sort of like, you know, Isthmian level non-league team, interestingly enough. They certainly seem to play like it. It's an oddly familiar and yet strange experience at the same time.
Yeah, I got that feeling from the Brawawa side. They look like an Essex League side. But we've had a look at the team sheet. There's a few QPR registered players there. Crawley Town, I think, was on St Albans.
Yeah, St Albans, a couple from St Albans.
Quite a lot of unregistered. So,
yes.
But it's summer.
It's summer.
So a lot of non-league players are unregistered during the summer.
Mm.
Just as we're talking, the Cascadia team are just coming back out onto the field of play. All look raring to go, and having come back from a goal down to 2-1, you can tell why. But the hosts are just emerging now. We don't really know what sort of level the Cascadia side play at, but it is quite an interesting concept, though, isn't it? The fact that like this is an international tournament, but without nations. I don't know if you could actually still call it international if they're not nations, but it is a global game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that they don't have any internationally recognised borders or flags or whatever, it shouldn't really come into it. These guys identify as a grouping, as a country in their own right, and you know you should just respect that just because it isn't recognised by the UN. And as well as that, it gives a really good excuse to come out and watch some football and see some interesting kits and to hear some brilliant national anthems.
There were some spot on national anthems. Cascadia's was a bit interesting, wasn't it, Terry?
Yeah, Cascadia sounded more like an intro to a big prog rock band. It could have been easily performed by Rick Wakeman on a whole cascade of keyboards.
Yeah. I was waiting for Peter Gabriel to emerge from some giant egg, playing a harp and a flute at the same time.
Yeah. I was convinced there was a bit of motorbike in that as well.
Yeah, you said a bit of motorbike to start it.
So, Cascadia is, how did they describe themselves, Jan, when you were listening to them earlier?
I walked past a little stand they've got, which is kind of just giving out information, also trying to sell some stuff as well, shirts, etc. But the country, if you like, goes from, I think, Northern California right the way up the west coast of the US up to Alaska. They said that they would be, if they were a recognised nation, the 13th largest economy in the world, which is significant, I think, to say the least. So, you know, it's... And they clearly draw on some experience in the footballing world because they're no slouches, are they?
No, they've got good techers.
Definitely good techers.
As the young people would say.
I think it's interesting, the Conifoot World Cup, because it does give an opportunity for people who, you know, from regions who are looking for genuine national recognition. I mean, you've got countries like Matabeleland and Barawa, and Tibet, who have got really much, much broader issues. But at the same time, you've also got, you know, frankly, the Isle of Man and, you know, maybe Cascadia, where, you know, this is an opportunity to express regional or national identity without necessarily being, like, uber-nationalistic about the whole thing. And because, you know, they live in economies and in countries where they're not persecuted, where they're not starving, where they're not, you know, suffering. And so you get that nice mix and that mixture of different economies, where some are stronger than others, and hopefully they're all able to contribute to, you know, what is hopefully a vibrant tournament and give opportunities for the poorer nations to be able to come and participate and further and their issues and raise awareness of their own situation. So, I mean, it's a really interesting idea, Conifoot World Cup, and I'm really pleased that it's hosted here and that we have the opportunity to come and see it.
But obviously, these teams don't have nations behind them, so they don't have a steady stream of income, so they're largely self-financed, and of course that it really depends on them finding 16 teams that can actually get themselves together and get them to turn up. It's a very compressed tournament. It started on Thursday. They've got another round of fixtures tomorrow. You can imagine that it's all going to be fit into 2 weeks because this is all the time that they've got off from work.
Yeah, that's true. And I tell you what, kids, don't waste your money on the Nigeria shirt. Go and find yourself a nice Barawa kit because it's amazing.
It is pretty special, I must admit. Terry, could you possibly describe it?
No, it's green, blue and red.
Yeah.
Beautifully put.
I mean, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it, really? Yeah. Yeah. If you can imagine those colours all together, listeners, then, yeah.
This isn't kit bliss, mate. Yeah. I'm not able to, you know, articulate kits, you know, in audio form. You know. Just Google it, guys, and you'll see.
Yeah. Cascadia in their away kit, which looks remarkably Leeds United to me. So, yeah.
True.
Yeah. There's nothing we can get excited about that.
And the refs are of a very high standard as well.
They are. Yeah. They're all mic'd up and everything.
And they're mic'd up.
Which when you're here at Carl Shorten Athletic with about 200 people watching, you expect the sort of referees you get at Isthmian League level, which you know, are perfectly adequate for that level. But yeah, they're not.
These guys are a cut above the one.
Yeah, they're not mic'd up.
No.
And they're not as rotund as you may see
normally at Carl Shorten Athletic.
As well lived, are they?
They can keep up with play, I think would be the polite way of saying it.
Yeah.
But quite a dashing kit they've got themselves with their kind of salmon pink sleeves and epaulettes and a stripe down the back as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite.
See, this is turning into kit bliss, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Yeah.
Sorry about that,
listeners. Yeah. We have to apologise that. But, we don't normally do live on the spot recordings from matches, do we? Because usually when we're at matches, it's all about the fact that we're coming to watch football, isn't it?
Mm hmm. And the beer as well.
And the beer.
More beer.
Usually in the beer.
And they're no longer coherent.
I have to say, it is delightful here as well, the beer, isn't it?
The beer is very nice.
This amber beer is beautiful.
Yeah, it still looks a bit Brexit here, though, doesn't it? With all the flags of St. George.
There's lots of flags of St. George's.
Yeah, down completely down one side.
Yeah,
I hear there's going to be a torchlight parade down there later. But probably. I don't know how true
once
that
all,
is.
Once all the foreigners have gone home.
Farage will be here clapping them all out. Won't
he? Well, we've given you a taste of the Canifa World Cup. We're going to go and watch some more football. We're going to sign off.
There weren't any more goals in the game, so Cascadia got their first win of the tournament. Both sides progressed to the next round, but were both eliminated by the now finalists Northern Cyprus and Karpatalia. That final's on Saturday the 9th of June at the QE2 Stadium in Enfield. Our next podcast will be with you very soon and will be our primer for the World Cup starting on June 14th. Next season is going to be our 10th, and as such we'll be looking to add a few new things and get some great guests on. Some new and some very familiar. Of course, we'll be keeping you up to date with all the matches you should be watching in the weekend box set, our weekly summary of the 7 best offerings on TV. If you haven't subscribed already, get along to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball and just add your email address. You can also subscribe through our website, sofpodcast.com. We never forget you have a choice of podcasts, and there will probably be even more on offer after the World Cup. So thank you for continuing to download and listen to us. All it leaves me to say now is from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, goodbye for now, and see you again for the World Cup.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Yeah, Cascadia sounded more like an intro to a big prog rock band. Yeah. I think it was you or Jan or whatever you suggested that actually it could have been easily performed by Rick Wakefield on a whole cascade of keyboards. Rick Wakeman. There you go. You can edit that in. Drop that in.
I'll just drop that in.